Compass FM, North Canterbury's community radio station. Dan Gordon, Mayor of the Waimakariri District Council. Thanks for coming back into Compass FM again, Dan. We've been told by Tamati Arawa to put chlorine in our water supply in the Waimakariri. How do you feel about that?
Look, we've been working through with Tamati Arawa for exemptions on our water supplies since the regulator came in, and that was the process we needed to follow. We got a very clear message that the public would prefer definitely strongly that our suppliers aren't chlorinated, and I might say I'm in the have to hold that view very strongly. But we've gone through that. We tried to influence the made submissions to the select committee. We support there being a regulator in place. It's got a job to do. Late last year, when we were going through the exemption process, we sought an agreement with the CE of Tamati Arawa at the time, Bill Bayfield, that we could by agreement keep our supplies free of chlorine, those that weren't already chlorinated, and he agreed to that on the basis that we could turn chlorine on at a moment's notice. We've gone through the exemption process with regard to the CUST supply. We're going through with the others, and it's clear following the CUST decision, which we've challenged, that we do have to chlorinate. And bearing in mind that CUST is now chlorinated as a supplier, so there won't be any change out there as such. But where the change is that we sought a meeting to find out what the implications of that decision were for our other suppliers, Rangura, Oxford, Kaiapoi, Woodend, all our suppliers. That now Kaiapoi and parts of Woodend and those localities have chlorine on because there has been some organic material found, and we haven't been able to, well, we have actually resolved a lot of that, but it got to the point where because this was pending, we weren't prepared to make a call until we knew that where that was coming from. So in the meeting, it was made very clear that we are legally required to chlorinate, and that was the firm advice from Tamati Arawa. So today we're advising, we went to council on Tuesday, and so we've been preparing ourselves to communicate with the public, and it's today, I understand, the North Canterbury News, and we will be writing to each and every household to tell them exactly what the implications are of that. But we haven't given up going to the exemption process. I was actually going to ask you
that. Is this the final, is this the end? No. Chlorination is in North Canterbury Water Supply.
Well, it's going to be, and there's a staggered date for that for suppliers, which will explain it to residents. But until such time as we understand what it would be required to gain an exemption, what the cost implications of that are, then we'll inform the public, then chlorine will remain. But we are certainly going to continue to advocate strongly and take the position we need to take on behalf of our community. I want to assure people that the drinking water and the drinking water sources are safe and secure. It's the reticulation where there's challenges.
Explain that.
Reticulation, so the pipes, all those things.
Infrastructure
that you just can't guarantee 100% that there isn't the ability, based on the present standards, that they would require. It's a very high standard now, and the standards have changed. We are the outlier in terms of Canterbury and not chlorinating our water, but that's based on the fact that we know very clearly where our public stand on it, and also that we were really confident, given the testing that we were doing, that we weren't putting the community at risk. But we've now reached that point where we are legally required, and that's the steps that we're taking. And so that will be progressively put on over the next month. And as I say, there will be a letter coming out to the public explaining exactly that. Hey, look, it hasn't been an easy decision. I want to make that really clear. And there's on our council website, there's frequently asked questions. And if you've got further questions, then I really encourage you to call through to our 0800 and or email them, and our staff will be there to respond and answer, because there will naturally be some people that are concerned about what it means. Just so you understand what the dosage is.
I was actually going to ask that. How much is going in, and how much, what's it going to taste like?
But it's explained to me, it's equivalent of a tablespoon per 10,000 litres of water.
Excuse me, say that again.
A tablespoon
per 10,000 10,000 litres
of water. That is the dosage. There's another mathematical equation that's got a whole lot of noughts in front of it, but that's the easiest way it's been explained to me.
I was actually going to ask you, in a litre of water, how much would it be? And it would be basically just a drop.
It's a percentage.
Not even that.
Of that.
Okay.
But the thing is that when you do notice taste in the supply, that's actually when it's working and picking up those things. And look, I guess if you look at what's happened in Auckland and Queenstown recently, those things can happen, waterborne illnesses. And it, as the supplier of water, it's our job to make sure that we're not putting our community at risk. And I, you know, based on the advice that we've received, very firm advice from Tomato Arawa, who are the regulator, and I think are doing their job well. May not agree with all their calls, but
well, you've been consistent saying that
we support them and what they're doing, and it's important that we follow that, so that, you know, I don't want it on my conscience, neither did the council, that we would put our community at risk based on that advice. And also you know, we just want to make, and also our staff who are there making sure that they're doing their job right, we put them at risk if we don't follow that advice.
What does it mean to bottled water? Do we have any water bottling plants in Waimakariri?
I do know there's one in Cust. My understanding is that's a private supply, but I don't know how that would affect that per se. But as far as I understand,
water is going to have chlorine
in it. But look, we lived on a chlorinated supply in Ahoka for years, and what you do to get rid of the taste is either boil it or put it in the fridge, and it removes that taste from it.
I can guarantee that what you just said is exactly as my water supply has chlorine in it. I filter it, I put it in the fridge, and it's like what water used to be in the 80s.
If people want to, they can check with their plumber, and there are devices that you can simply put in to address that, and a number of people do, and even now put those filters in to address lots of things. So that's probably the safe position for people to take if they want to do that, but seek advice from the plumber. I'm not qualified to make that call, but I know ourselves with just simply boiling it or either putting it in the fridge, remove that taste. Hey look, we have and as I said before, our water is some of the best in New Zealand, if not in the world, in terms of its quality. They're sourced from deep source aquifers, and particularly Rangura's, and a lot of money's been spent over the last 20 years making sure that we do supply really good, strong water, good quality water.
Did I see in a newspaper story, which is on the front page of the North Canterbury News today, $100 million or so?
It's been $100 million over the last 20 years, and we've got you know, a significant amount budgeted in coming years for other investments. We're about to put UV on all our water supplies, and we had budgeted for that, but we wanted to make sure that we had the conversation with the regulator to ensure that actually that's something they would see as an effective barrier. Because you put, that's millions of dollars to do that, and we're prepared to do that, and have now made that decision to do so. And there are a number of our suppliers that have UV on it now. We're building the infrastructure to put that in, so the buildings, how it's housed. We've got the actual UV units on their way. There are two that we've allowed be redirected to Queenstown, as I think I mentioned.
You mentioned that on Tuesday,
Because it's the sort of thing we need to do to help neighbours out when they've got a real issue going on. Yep. But I want to assure people that that's only a delay of weeks, if not a month or so, before we would get those units resupplied. And in the event, they've got the infrastructure to build around them before they be put on. So I made that, when we made that decision, we were very clear that it wouldn't impact our public, but it's the right thing to do to support neighbours.
Dan, final question from me is, if there is a change of government and Three Waters reforms, all that sort of stuff gets taken off the board, will this affect this in any way, shape or form?
No, just to be clear that the Three Waters reforms are completely separate to this matter, in the sense that the water reform is actually around the ownership and those sort of works. But the decision around the water quality and that will always be a matter that would rest with the regulator and ultimately whomever is running water for the council. And to be honest, it probably would have been put on a lot sooner. And I know the strong feedback we've had from people about it, so that's why we've taken the stance of really pushing it to make sure that when we made this decision that we put a hand on our heart and say we've done everything we can to achieve a better outcome. But you know, we will talk with the new government, whomever they are, certainly around the challenges of this, because to meet an exemption now with the way in which the standards are being interpreted and the way they are, it's a very high benchmark and will be potentially a lot of money to do so. And so I'd like to for them to understand exactly why, you know, what implication that has, and are we you know, with those standards being, you know, taking it a step that's it's further than it needs to be. But look, I'm not qualified to make that call, and the experts who take advice internationally are the ones that are providing that advice to us. But if the standards are unreasonable and unrealistic, it's something perhaps government needs to work through with the regulator, and that's certainly points that I'll make, knowing where our community stand on it. But as I say, it hasn't been an easy decision, but it's the right decision to make sure our community is safe and protected.
You've made a decision. Now, you can thank you for coming into Compass and sharing the last 10 minutes or so with us here on the radio, but you can read all about it in the North Canterbury News. Obviously, if you've got any questions, there'll be 0800 numbers, there'll be email addresses. And just take part in democracy and ask some questions if that's that's what you really want to do.
Council website also has that information. And as I say, we are writing, and in the next coming week or so, there will be a letter that goes to every household explaining about that and where you can find that extra information. We just want to make sure everyone knows and understands why we're having to undertake that.
Thank you, Dan Gordon, Mayor of the Waimakariri. Very serious subject, and treating it seriously. I appreciate it. Thank you coming into Compass.
It's Compass FM.